Get and take a drink of water. You got a good side view of it.
That bottle was so full. I didn't want to leave it like that. Did you get me in there too?
Yeah. You got two, one sideways and one up front.
Yeah.
Well, somebody shout hallelujah if you're ready for a healing service. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this special day. Lord Jesus, we just give you the glory. You went about healing all that came to you, Lord. Lord, part of Christianity is praying for the sick. And Lord God, part of Christianity is seeing you heal them. We give you glory for that. We give you praise for that. Lord, we've got one in our midst that was not here this morning, but in our midst, that is a true miracle. Lord, you're the healer. You respond to our prayers. You respond to the anointing that you put on us, Lord. And we give you thanks. Give you thanks, Lord. We know when something is said, something is decided, that that's not the end. If you haven't had your say, Lord Jesus, it's not the end. We give you thanks again. Lord, anoint me and use me. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're actually going to have two healing services, one this morning and one next week. And it'll be fun to see what God's going to do in our midst. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I know we have some here today that are eager to be healed or see a loved one or a friend healed. And I just, you know, Lord told me to do this, so I know that healing's coming.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I plan to approach this service a little differently than I have in past ones. Please stay with me and you'll understand, but I want to make two points this morning. The first point is, it is God's will to heal.
Amen.
It is God's will to heal. Amen? Jesus wants his bride to be well. He wants his bride to be well, and we're going to believe that we will experience healing at the end of this service. The second point, secondly, our position in relationship to the healer. How deep is our commitment to Christ? Do we operate in faith on a regular basis? So God's will is healing, amen? And how close are we to our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Did I say something wrong, God? You calling? Let's go to Mark chapter 1. I want to begin with verse 29 and go through to verse 39. I'm feisty today, so I'm sorry. Starting with verse 29. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon is Peter, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Verse 32. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Peter must have really loved his mother-in-law because he brought the healer to her. Amen?
Amen.
I'm sure you've heard any number of mother-in-law jokes, such as, what is the worst thing an emergency room doctor can tell you after admitting your mother-in-law to the hospital? Sir, we were able to save her. Obviously, Peter had a better relationship with his mother-in-law than that joke. Amen? She was sick with a fever, which is generally serious in those days. Today, they may be unpleasant, but a fever is a rather normal occurrence for us and usually minor. We take a Tylenol and go to bed and the fever passes. Amen? But that wasn't the case before Walgreens and pharmaceuticals. A fever could be a life-threatening experience. Amen? And Jesus and Peter, they entered the house. Peter's mother-in-law was lying down, sick in bed, and with this fever. We don't know how long she had a fever. We don't know the cause of the fever, nor do we know how high her temperature was. All we know is that she had a fever, and it had laid her low. She was in bed. Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law. Of course, there was no magic potion or magic wands. Jesus didn't perform any unusual ritual at her bedside. No, he simply reached out, took her hand, and helped her up. Immediately, the fever left her. Immediately, the fever left her. Jesus didn't behave in any strange manner. He didn't put on a display. I don't know about your experiences, but through the years, I have seen some healing services full of theatrics. Amen? When Jesus healed the sick, it was simple, and it was personal. He took her hand, he helped her up, and the fever left. Gone. Adios. Hasta la vista. Restored to health. Feeling fine. What a difference a simple touch of the Lord Jesus Christ makes. What a difference, folks. Then Mark goes on to say, at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. There's a couple of interesting things to note in this passage, and they both have been found. Archaeologists have discovered Peter's house and the synagogue of Capernaum. Remember, they came out of the synagogue right before they went to Peter's house. I don't know if you're into that kind of thing, but Peter's house was like normal houses at that time. It was constructed as a compound with a wall going around the outside and separate small living structures within the wall. So there might be a two-room house in one quarter of the compound where Peter and his family lived, and there might be another two-room structure in a different corner of the compound where Peter's brother Andrew lived with his family, and then possibly a smaller one-room structure over against another wall. And that's where Peter's mother-in-law lived after she became a widow. The living quarters was encompassed by a wall for security and privacy. In the middle of these dwellings was a good-sized courtyard. The whole compound had a single entrance, and that's the door that Mark refers to when he says the whole town gathered at the door. Although the courtyard may have been capable of handling quite a few people, the crowds were flocking there in such numbers that they couldn't get all of them in. But as they came, each one, Jesus touched them and healed them without exception. What a sight and what an exhilarating experience. People getting carried in or helped in or led in, all because of their debilitating illnesses. Some perhaps were ushered in, because Mark tells us that there were those possessed by demons, a lot of them. Amen. However, Jesus was there to heal and restore. Can you imagine the buzz? Can you imagine the thrill, the energy from countless numbers who were being healed and set free? Fantastic. Don't you imagine that people stood amazed as Jesus performed these miracles right in front of them? Now, Peter's mother-in-law gives us an interesting example of how to respond to God's grace. She immediately got up and started serving. Immediately. The moment this woman began to feel well, she put on her apron and became the perfect hostess to the guest. Wasn't this a little extreme? Perhaps she should have taken it easy for a little while. Amen? Surely this lady should have gone to bed or to the Lazy Boy recliner, one of the two. Wouldn't you think it unrealistic to expect someone to get to work right after they're healed from a fever? Well, certainly you would. Some folks may have had these thoughts, but not Peter's mother-in-law. As soon as the fever left, she was on her feet, taking care of the house guests. Peter's mother-in-law has an immediate response to the healing touch of Jesus, from the sick bed to the serving table. Amen. God had done a miracle in her heart and in her life. Now, I hope you see some principles that she teaches us in this passage of Scripture. To live gratefully, to live generously. Our hands are to be led by our hearts. Give what you get and share what you receive. God pours out His grace to us abundantly, surprisingly, and certainly. So what are you going to do with that? Peter's mother-in-law, it exemplifies how we should respond to God's goodness and grace through faith, through service, and through true hospitality. Now, news about Jesus was spreading very quickly. Crowds were gathering. Jesus was developing a rock star celebrity status. Amen. We're not even to the end of the first chapter, and already he's got a whole town knocking on the door to get healing. Surely this was a good thing. The disciples probably thought the attention, the excitement, the celebrity status was great. They were thinking, this is awesome. This is awesome. Just think what Jesus is going to be able to do. This is great. But crowds can get out of control. Crowds don't always listen very intently. And many times crowds act on perception, hearsay, or impulse. Jesus seems to prefer the personal interactions, conversation, touch, and questions. Rock stars always use their celebrity status. They work the crowds. Amen? They limit their interpersonal connections. They prefer publicity. Performing miracles would add to the rock star status, wouldn't it? But Jesus kept the ambiguity of miracles. He intended them to be signs of the kingdom of God. They were meant to lead to repentance and stimulate people's faith. The grave danger was that people seeing his acts of healing merely as spectacular feats of magic would not alter their relation of God in the slightest. If they looked at these miracles that way, they would not alter their perception of God one bit. Rock star status is fleeting. It's based solely on the fickle attitudes of those who make them celebrities. People will often swarm from one celebrity to the next, and that's not the kind of following Jesus intended. Jesus often told people whom he released from demonic control, "Don't tell anyone who I am. Don't tell anyone who I am." That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? Why would he tell somebody to keep quiet? Why wouldn't he want them to spread the news? Now, listen closely, saints. Miracles do happen all the time. But we must understand that miracles have a time and place. These miracles, miraculous occurrences, are testimonies to Jesus' power in the over the natural world. But if our faith focuses on and revolves around miracles, then we are missing the point. Faith that concentrates on miracles will eventually develop in us an attitude that says, "God, what have you done for me lately?" That's a clear indication that our faith is based on what God does and not on who he is. Obviously, that kind of attitude reflects a poor relationship with Jesus. As Mark continues his account, we read that more and more people were being healed and restored to full health. After witnessing miracle after miracle, these experiences left a powerful impression on all the people. Maybe they received a physical touch, or maybe it's through something he said or something they saw him do. No wonder Jesus' fame grew so quickly. No wonder people were flocking to see him. Yes, miracles are supernatural blessings. They are marvelous. And Jesus still performs miracles today. Amen. Amen. But he did not, and he does not, want us to follow him simply because of miracles, simply because of the show, simply because of what he can do for us. Our Savior wants his followers to show him devotion, dedication, obedience, and most of all, our love. And more importantly, Jesus wants our faith to be based on a personal decision to serve him. Personal decision to serve him. Miracles are awe-inspiring, but Jesus always intended them to be a catalyst for faith. Now, let's take a step back for just a second. Mark writes that after that incredible night of ministry at Peter's house, Jesus got up early. Before anybody else rolled out of bed, before the rooster crowed, before the sun peeked over the horizon, the Lord rose early and walked into the wilderness, not just to escape the crowds, but also to renew his mission, his purpose, and his calling. Mark in verse 35 tells us that Jesus went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Folks, this sounds like an echo from something we've heard before. You remember after Jesus' baptism when he went into the wilderness, another solitary place, to fast and pray? While he was there, he was sorely tempted by Satan. Could that be happening here again? Mark doesn't give us details, but if you remember, Luke mentions that when the devil left Jesus after those 40 days of tempting, he said, "Until a more opportune time." Could it be that Mark is alluding to another time, another opportunity in which Satan tries to tempt Jesus again? In the first set of temptations, the devil tried to push and prod Jesus into becoming a miracle man, a rock star, a different kind of Savior. But Jesus kept his eyes and his heart focused on the mission that God the Father had called him to. He came to love and to serve and to save humanity through his death on a cross. But here we are. Jesus is experiencing success after success, ministry, healings, exorcisms, and anointed teaching. Could it be that Jesus was tempted again to morph into a different kind of Savior? Jesus Christ superstar? A bigger, better rock star than the world's ever seen? Maybe he retreated into the wilderness to reconnect with his Heavenly Father, restoring his commitment to the path of a suffering Savior. Could it be that he was escaping the crowds, the positive press, breaking away from the appearance of a celebrity, so that he could focus on the mission that God the Father had called him to in the first place? A mission that inevitably would lead to rejection and suffering and death on a cruel cross. Now, there's something profound here that is significant for all of us. When success comes your way, when others are singing your praises, when you're seeing victories for the kingdom, please take heed and beware of the subtle temptation to make it all about you. Beware of the temptation to reinvent the calling God has placed on your life. Go into the wilderness and escape the crowds. Find time to spend with God one-on-one. Let him speak to your heart and guide your vision. Jesus went to a solitary place where he prayed. This behavior must have been very confusing to the disciples. Where was Jesus? Where was he? Why did he get up so early and disappear? We need to ride this wave. We need to make some more public appearances. We need this train to carry us all the way to Herod's palace. But when they woke up the next morning, the disciples discovered that Jesus had disappeared. Mark tells us in verse 36 that the disciples went searching for Jesus. Verse 37 says, when they finally located the Lord, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." In that verse, in the Greek phrase, that phrase in the Greek is expressed passionately. It's intense. And it definitely conveys a strong message. In other words, they are hunting for Jesus. Amen? They are pursuing him. They are strongly motivated to find him. So what should we consider this morning? Where does this leave us? What do we take home? How do we apply it to our lives? Well, we might tend to zero in on healing and the fact that God can really heal us, and he will this morning. Whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual healing that we're in need of, you can trust him because he can do it and he will do it. Amen. We might also zero in on service. Peter's mother-in-law provides a terrific example of how to respond when God graces your life. Amen. After the woman was healed, she immediately began to care for her house guests. Service arises out of a gratitude for God's generosity and thankfulness for all he had done. But the longer I study this passage and listen to what God's whispering through those verses, the more I'm convinced that there's something else he wants us to recognize. Here it is. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what Jesus can do for us when we really just need to find Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Miracles, healings, wow, wonder, astonishment. Jesus is meeting needs left and right. The disciples see it. The crowds see it. The temptation is to zero in on only what he can do for us. We come to where he is, list in hand, our needs, legitimate needs, sometimes not even concerns for ourselves, but But we want Jesus to do something for our loved ones so we can get all wrapped up in what we want Jesus to do, the miracles we want him to perform, the bodies we want him to heal, situations we want him to fix. Sometimes we get so zeroed in on what we want Jesus to do that we forget our life is really all about pursuing Jesus. Pursuing him, hunting, searching, and following. In the end, faith is not about what we believe Jesus can do for us. Rather, faith is more about following after him wherever he leads. He may lead us into the crowds or the leper colonies. He may lead us into people's lives, or he may lead us into the wilderness. But wherever he leads you or me, wherever Jesus leads our church, we must answer this question. Are we hanging around Jesus because we're hoping he'll take care of our laundry list? Or are we following him, pursuing him, and chasing him because we love him, we trust him, and we know that life would be futile without him? We've all got a list of things we want Jesus to do for us. And folks, that's okay. It's okay to ask him for these things. He told us to cast all our cares upon him. Amen? But more importantly than believing Jesus is able to meet our needs is he's able to perform mighty miracles. The most important thing is trusting him and loving him, regardless of whether he does or doesn't do what we want or what we ask. Amen. Loving him. Saints, Jesus calls us to follow him, to pursue him, and to search for him. And no matter what our condition, all we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. Now, as born again believers, let's approach Jesus the correct way and receive our healing. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Just let me walk here a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're our all in all. There's no place we can hide from you. There's no place we want to hide from you, Lord. You know us inside out. You know all about us, Lord Jesus. Everything you know. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go right behind you here, Brother Norman. Lord, you're keeping Brother Norman here for a purpose. This man has a real relationship with you. But Lord, he needs to hear. He needs to hear what you're telling him, Lord. But Lord God, we want a miracle right here now for this man. And his ears will be opened up and he'll be able to hear. Lord, with hearing aids or without, that's completely up to you. But we ask for a miracle this morning, that you would just take these ear canals and repair them, Lord. Restore them. Create even new ones, Lord God, where he will hear again. Hear the voice of his kids, Lord God, his wife. Lord, this is not impossible for you. I even saw this once myself. Healed a little boy that never had heard. So, Lord, I ask you just to open up these ear canals. Repair what's necessary so this man can hear. And I ask that in Jesus' powerful name. Powerful name. Hallelujah. 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 We come against Parkinson's disease in Jesus' name. Lord, we curse it right now in Jesus' name. And we send healing into Carol's body. The top of her head to the tip of her toes, Lord God. Lord, she's in the prime of life. She has a great relationship with you, Lord Jesus. She's in your will, Lord, right now. And Lord, we ask that this Parkinson would be healed. You healed everyone that came to you, Lord. Everyone that came to you, you healed. Lord, I don't think Parkinson's anything new. I think they had it back then, and you healed it, Lord. So Lord, we ask for that healing right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Minister. By your power, Lord. Minister by your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get good reports. Get good reports. Lord, I lift Cheryl up to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, she needs a healing in her body. You healed her of cancer, Lord. What a miracle. What a miracle. Lord, we appreciate that. We thank you for that. Lord, she still struggles on a daily basis. I ask you to minister healing. Let your healing virtue just flow in this place. Lord, we look for good reports in the name of Jesus. Lord, I command this spine to line up. Lord, every pinched nerve is released right now in Jesus' name. Healing that's caused, or the pain that's caused by those things, Lord God, is gone in Jesus' name. And she receives her healing right now in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Lord, I want to pray for my brother. I know something isn't right. I ask you to touch his body, Lord. You've heard prayers from his wife, his kids. Lord, I ask for your ministry and doctor's life, Lord God. Lord, again, we pray from the top of his head to the tip of his toes, Lord God, everything. The things even inside, Lord God, spiritual things, emotional things, Lord, physical things. We release him from any hold the enemy has so that he can receive this openly and willingly and be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Harold, I want you to stand up. Lord Jesus, we ask for a healing of his back. In the name of Jesus, let everything line up correct. He was knit together in his mother's womb, Lord God, by you. You know this spine. You know everything about it. And Lord, you're the healer. You can minister to him, Lord, this relaxing of these muscles, Lord God, right now, in Jesus' name. Let healing take place. Let healing take place. Lord, I ask you to set him free from this pain. He's too busy. He's too busy, Lord. Doesn't have time for this. So touch him and heal him, Lord God, right now, in Jesus' name. Touch him and heal him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we rebuke lupus. They say there's no cure for lupus. They don't understand you, Lord. We ask for a complete reversal of this stuff, Lord God. Healing for Christy. Healing, Lord. Minister to her. Minister to her. Rosie, would you go get my wife? Devil, you can't have her. You can't have her. This demonic disease isn't going to have her. Disease came in when Adam sinned. And we rebuke it right now in Jesus' name. Jesus paid the price for this sickness. And we acting as Jesus' hands and feet, like Larry said earlier, Lord God, we stand here and rebuke it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to just lift Dawn to you right now for an emotional healing.
Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy.
Lord, she didn't deserve all this, Lord God. Lord, when our emotions are tore up, we just don't, not very good at anything in life. And Lord, I ask for a healing of these emotions, Lord. We feel like we're not worth anything because our emotions are messed up. But Lord, she's worth so much. She's worth so much, Lord. And Lord God, I just ask that you take these emotions and correct them in Jesus' name. Lord God, she's the victor. She's the winner, Lord God. She's the one that's the overcomer, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Minister and heal her, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name.
We bind the devil away from her. The influences of the enemy, all those things that he tries to get into her mind. We come against you, Satan, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We rebuke the devourer. And Lord, we can. Amen. We continue to pray for Dave. Let healing take place, Lord God. Oh, let it flow through these two daughters of his. And Lord God, ask that the pain be taken away from his toes right now. And Lord, Pam, facing the flu or something, Lord God, we rebuke that too in Jesus' name. And Lord, just as she has a fever, Lord God, just like this woman, Lord, we take her by the hand right now, and that fever is gone, it's broken in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I want to pray for you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Lord, I lift Bonnie to you. Lord, she's got a good, solid relationship with you. She loves you more than life itself. But Lord, she fights every day. I ask that you would touch her and heal her, Lord, even as we stand here together right now. We come against the things we know about, fibromyalgia, Lord God. We come against it in Jesus' name. Fatigue, Lord God, neuropathy, Lord. These things we come against right now, we send them back to the pits of hell. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, everything lined.
Yes.
To your word.
Lord, we pray this spine lines up. Complete. Whole. Straight, Lord God. No nerve pressures at all. In Jesus' name. No nerve pressures at all. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
The word of life, God. The word of life that flows in my body.
Thank you, Jesus.
And restoration and healing.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All these things make me cry like a baby. Anybody here want to ask for prayer? We'll pray for you. Pardon me? You? And Larry?
Yeah, just sorry.
Jesus, we just ask for your ministry to this arm. Lord, Larry told me, but I'm not sure what it is. But Lord God, you know exactly. You put the words in the doctor's mouth. You know exactly what's wrong with it, Lord. But Lord, we're here today to ask you for a healing ministry and a healing victory, Lord God, that the pain that's in this hand will be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone. The strength will be there. The fingers will operate correctly. Do their thing. We bind arthritis in the name of Jesus. We loose your healing, Lord. We loose the Holy Spirit to come, touch, minister. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Joe?
I got a lot.
You got a lot.
Mm-hmm. I got spinal fusion, and I've got these spots in my eyes that make it hard to see sometimes, and my grandpa was just diagnosed from lung cancer.
Lord, you know the damage of his spine. You know these spots in his eyes. Lord, even his loved one, his grandfather with cancer. We'll start with that, Lord, because we rebuke cancer.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We send it to the pits of hell.
Amen.
It doesn't belong here.
That's right.
A cell in rebellion doesn't belong here.
Amen.
And we do that in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask you to do the work of an orthopedic surgeon. And maybe one's already been in there. But we ask for the work of one that wants to heal. And Lord God, I ask that you just minister right now in Jesus' name. Lord, this spine needs to work correctly.
Amen.
Help him with this, Lord. Help him take away the pain. Take away the discomfort, Lord God. Take these things away. And Lord, I don't know what the spots are, but you do. You do. You can minister to his eyes. He can see. Lord, you took blinded people
Amen.
And made them well and whole and where they could see, Lord God.
Amen.
Did it in different ways. So, Lord, I ask you to minister to Joe. Touch him, Lord. Do a great work. Release him from these things. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Kathleen, how can I pray?
Oh, boy, I got lots of stuff to pray for me. I got a lot of different things. Got some lumps in different areas and some old injuries that I need healing from. And I want to pray that my cell phone will be loosed in the spirit and be returned to me. So, but I want healing from head to toe.
Lord, I lift Kathleen to you right now, and we pray together. This whole church is praying right now for her. And Lord God, I ask that you minister to her, Lord. She says she has some lumps, Lord. Lord, she's got some old injuries that need healing, Lord. And we lift her up from the top of her head to the tip of her toes, Lord God. We look for healing to take place in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you give her a dance in her feet, Lord God. Lord, just as she walks, she can't help but do a little jig. And Lord God, that these things are healing, these things are clearing up, Lord God. They're not going to be a problem for her. They're not going to be this problem. But Lord God, they're going to be a victory. They're going to be healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Top of her head to the tip of her toes, Lord God. And Lord, she needs her cell phone back. Loose that thing in Jesus' name. Let her be able to find it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deliverance for the cell phone, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and give the Lord praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we give you glory and praise, Lord God. Anything that happened here this morning happened because of you. And Lord, we give you thanks for that because you worked through us, Lord. You anoint us and you work through us. And Lord, I just praise you. I just thank you. We give you all the glory, Lord. And Lord, prepare us for next week. Bring some people here that need healing. We're going to spend more time praying than healing. And Lord God, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. Thank you.